Turn up in your Bibles the third chapter of John's Gospel. John's Gospel, the chapter 3. And we're reading from verse 1 to verse 17. John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 1 to 17. There was a man of the Pharisees, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master in Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. And God will bless his holy word to our hearts. May we honor it by believing it and living out its promises and its commandments. Amen. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God, he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. Pick up your Bible and turn with me to the third chapter of the Gospel of John. John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him, in him, should not perish, but have eternal life. This text is a matter of history, which became the revelation of the mystery of God's way of salvation, and was demonstrated as such. And when our Lord met one of the great rulers of the Jews, Nicodemus, he said to Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. There is a plainness to be used for this text. Is really an historical incident. An incident in the history of the children of Israel, which became a spiritual saving demonstration. This incident is a demonstration of the historical fact made visible by actual miraculous demonstrations. The demonstration of every poor victim to the power of these serpents in the wilderness. That every one of them that looked to that lifted up bronze serpent on a pole, every one of them was gloriously and instantaneously healed. It was a truly wonderful text and a demonstration. It is a demonstration that has lasted out in gospel preaching all down through the years. Since Jesus sat in the darkness with a man who was as dark as hell's midnight and pointed out to Nicodemus the only way to the light was by the cross and by the one who would be lifted up and die for sinners, and die for religious sinners like Nicodemus. And he said, Nicodemus, I want to tell you, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting. Now, if you look at this text, you will see that there's a representative of sinners for every age, every station, and every type in this text. The children are not marked off as absentee. The young people growing up are not marked off as absentees. The fathers and the mothers are not marked off. And no type of workman was marked off. There was a great all about them and a wonderful word of Christ. Whosoever God speaketh once, yea twice, but man perceiveth it not. And in verse 15, that whosoever believe in him should not perish. And in the next verse again, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Man speaketh once, yea twice. God speaketh once, yea twice. But man perceiveth it not. But thank God, Nicodemus did perceive it. And the next time you find him standing up for Jesus in the temple among the great men of his nation, and the next time you find him, he's at the tomb and he's saying that the Lord has a proper burial, for he knew that the Lord was going to rise from the grave, and he wanted the Lord to be attired properly as he came forth, the Savior of the world. The second thing that you'll notice, that a brazen serpent is a type of Jesus Christ. What was that serpent? That serpent was a destroying serpent. Serpents that came in, flying serpents from the desert. Serpents that had death in their mouth and death in the poison that they put into their victims. Serpents that could not be slaughtered off or killed off. They came in their hundreds and in their thousands, and they attacked all the tribes of Israel, the whole 12 tribes. Priests died, mothers died, fathers died, children died, babies died. A terrible time. But, strange to believe it, the imitation of one of those serpents becomes a glorious saving type of Christ. Isn't that a miracle? Nobody would have dared to write this or explain this way but Christ himself. In fact, I have never heard a preacher ever said what I have just said. So even preachers don't see it. But if you keep looking, you'll see many things in the book. Your eyes will be open. Always look for new things in the ever new word of the living God. And then there's something else here. There's not only the fact that we see the brazen serpent as a type of Christ, but the brazen serpent lifted up as a type of Christ lifted up. What does it say? It says that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Two lifting up. The lifting up of the serpents that were filled with poison and killing power. And then the lifting up of a replica of the same serpent. But of course, the replica had now changed the position And Christ had taken the place of the enemy serpent. And the killing was over. The wounding was over. The slaying was over. And waters of healing were flowing. And Moses went through the crowds and he said, "Look, look, look." And a man said, "Moses, I'm sick unto death." And look, Moses said, "It doesn't matter, look." And the man looked and he jumped to his feet. He's healed. My, there was some commotion that day among the saints of God. It wasn't over in a day. I'm sure it probably took a month before all the people were healed. What a powerful time that was. The serpent speaks, raised up of Jesus Christ. But what was to be done to the serpent? What had you to do? You had to gaze on the serpent. They were told to look. You could pass one of these, the brazen serpent on the pole. But if you didn't look at it, you didn't live by it. But praise those that looked at it, lived by it. Someday, the Lord will introduce us to these people who were all healed in the wilderness. And then the Lord will say with a gracious smile to us all, "Well, you also were healed because you were in the greater wilderness of sin and you were torn by the greater power, the very serpent of hell. But praise God, I met you and I saved you. And you're mine, not for the years of time alone, hallelujah, but for all eternity." The first picture in this story is the sinner in his sins. What a scene that must have been. When those flying serpents came in from the deserts, hundreds and hundreds and thousands of them, every one of them filled with poison and filled with the excitement to get all the people that they could meet put under the power of that poison. Every tribe in Israel was touched. Every kind of people in Israel was touched. Every family that they got to was touched with the poison. What a horrible picture we have of the agonies brought about to the bodies of these stricken people. And once the poison entered the bloodstream, what pain, unbearable pain, was felt by everyone who had been bitten by this snake. Let me emphasize that the serpent of sin is far more destructive than any other serpents that might bite us. Think of the infusion of damnation into the hearts and into the minds and into the souls of men and women all down through the centuries. The snakes of hell have been doing their work and killing off souls and peopling hell. But oh, thank God, there was one who took the serpent's place, my Savior and my Lord. and was humiliated to be likened unto that brazen serpent that was lifted up by Moses. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and what a terrible wilderness it was. Poison in every home. Deaths in every tent. All types and all the people under the curse and the power of the serpents. Poison. And then there was a change. The old things passed away. And all things became new. At the start, only a few people looked to the serpent and the pole. But immediately they looked, they were healed. See a man here, and he's filled with poison. He's crying out. He's in bitterness of body and soul and mind. But his friends drag him out of the tent and they prop him up and they say, look! And the man says, I can't, I have no strength. You'll get plenty of strength if you only look. And he looked and he jumps to his feet and he says, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. Of course he was healed. I came to Jesus as I was, weary, worn, and sad. I found in him a resting place, and Christ did make me glad. I had the experience of this in another way. And if you're a Christian, you've had that experience. Old things passed away. The old stamp of the devil's sting was removed. Those that lifted up their eyes from the ruins found the remedy for the ruin was found that day in Israel and the days that followed it. And after over 1,000 years after Christ sitting with Zacchaeus or with Nicodemus, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. The history of Moses and his serpent was not forgotten. But the history of Christ and his cross will never be forgotten. And when 10 million trillion years of God's eternity is fled, we'll still be singing about the cross, at the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all. Dear sinner friend, this is a night when you can lift your heart to Christ and see the God-man on the tree bearing your shame. There is life for a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto him and be saved, unto him who was nailed to the tree. Oh, why was he there as the bearer of sin? If on Jesus my guilt was not laid, oh, why from his side flowed the sin-cleansing blood if his dying my debt had not paid? It is not thy tears of repentance and prayers. It's the blood that atones for the soul. Then look, sinner, look unto him and be saved. for his blood can now make thee quite whole. We are saved by his stripes. Would we add to that word? And he is our righteousness made. The best robe of heaven he bids thee to wear. Oh, couldst thou be better arrayed? Take with rejoicing from Jesus at once the life everlasting he gives, and know with assurance thou never canst die, since Jesus thy righteousness lives. Oh, what a great thing to have lifted our eyes and to have glued them on the Son of God. Do you remember that day, dear believer? What a day it was. You know what happened? Old things passed away. The things you lived for, the things you enjoyed, the things you thought made up your whole life, and you discovered their rottenness and their defiling power. And you looked and looked away your eyes by looking. And what happened? You were suddenly born again of the Spirit of God. Born from above. You knew you were saved. The old devil knew you were saved, for you never knew the devil to attack you before as you were attacked the day you saved you. The day I was saved, I was hardly saved 5 minutes till the devil said, "You're not saved at all. He's a liar from the beginning, and he abode not in truth." John Bunyan, the wonderful man who wrote the Pilgrim's Progress, said the day he was saved, the devil told him he was damned. And he said, "I put my fingers to my ears and I ran and I ran and I ran." And he said, "I ran the devil out of wind, the old rascal, and I was saved." You can be saved tonight. You don't need a preacher. It's Christ you need. You don't need baptism. It's the blood you need. You don't need to join the church. It's joined together in the body of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Turn to Christ tonight. Plain preaching of the simple gospel is what saves man. Plain preaching of the Christian gospel is what keeps man. Plain preaching of the simple gospel is what's going to get us all into heaven. And heaven has begun in the hearts of all those that know and love the truth of God. Mr. Spurgeon, in one of his sermons, said, "Yea, my master has given instructions to his Holy Spirit that if man will not come of themselves, he should compel them to come in that his house may be filled. Then, poor sinner, you must be welcome. For if you don't come in, Christ is going to take you in by the scruff of the neck. And I am told as a preacher that I have to use my force to get you in. Doesn't that prove to you that the Lord will take you in if you come? You don't need to be forced. Just come. You say, 'I have too many sins.' Well, if you have too many sins, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from the many. All sins. Every sin has to go. Neath the cleansing flow. Rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away. And the burden of my heart rolled away. Poor sinner, God welcomes you. Come and welcome in Christ. And my last encouragement is this. Come to my Master and try Him. Because He promises to save you. The promises of Jesus Christ are all of them as good as oaths. They never fail. He says, whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Now if I had here a man who declared himself to be the vilest wretch on earth, I would say to him, young man, I am very fond of proving the truthfulness of God's promises. Now God says, if you believe, you shall never perish. My dear friend, when a common sinner tries, it doesn't fail. The worst and most extraordinary sinners are saved by the blood of the Lamb. There's a welcome at the cross for you, and there's a welcome at the cross for me. Just cast yourself wholly on Christ. And if you're not saved, God's book is a lie, and God Himself has broken His truth. But I tell you, God's book is never broken. His word is never broken. Come and try it, my friend. Come, for all things are now ready. How do you come? You come as you are. Where do you come? You come to the cross. Who do you come to? The Lord Jesus. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You come to Christ tonight. He'll be with you tonight. And when you wake tomorrow morning, He'll still be with you. And one day you'll not wake up on earth. You'll wake up in heaven. And He'll still be with you. The old things will have passed away, and all things become new. Dear sinner, come to Christ tonight. He will save you. Hallelujah! He will save you now. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank Thee for the simplicity of God's Word. And we thank Thee for the mystery and history of the wonder of the truth of God's salvation. We pray that not a sinner will leave this meeting until he's dead certain and absolutely sure he's born from above. Be with us as we tarry to sit with Thee at Thy table and to learn of Thee, for Thy yoke is easy. And Thy burden is life. And everybody said, Amen. Dear sinner friend, don't leave the meeting if you're not saved. Come and talk with us. We'll be glad to speak with you and point you to the Savior.